series of three teachings are going to literally refresh your life of faith. And I'd like to do a bit of a demo, and it's a really simple one. If you imagine the water in this glass is the life of the Spirit, the life of Christ in you. And sometimes, you know, that life needs a fresh injection of something. The Word, actually that something is the Word of God, and the life and power of the Spirit active as we mix what we hear with faith. And I've got here a vitamin C effervescent tablet. And we believe that this is exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be an alteration of the water, and there's going to be a whole lot of fizz and a change in your life because of what God does through these faith refreshers. So I encourage you, that's going to carry on fizzing away, I encourage you to receive the Word, to receive fresh faith for what God has, to open your heart no matter what kind of day you're having and what's been going on, because God has something special to refresh you with. And I know that the Word of God is all important to us as his people. Faith, one of the most exciting subjects and sometimes one of the most challenging, personally, and I'm sure for you as an individual in your family and your circumstance. But it is the principle by which God works. In Ephesians 2 verse 8, it says that we are saved by grace. And grace is God's free favor and gift of goodness, and all that we don't deserve, God gives as a gift in Christ Jesus through the work of what Jesus has already done. He's already provided the grace for everyone who's ever lived through the work of the cross and his resurrection. But we are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8 says, which is a gift of God. So it's not even of ourselves. We can't manufacture faith. Faith is a gift that God gives for us to believe. And as soon as we believe, we receive something fresh from God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, and I'm just going to kind of headline this evening by this statement from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this simple memory verse, if you like, that we should all understand. Paul says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. It's the opposite to how we used to be before we became Christians. And Paul and the Word of God, God himself, expects us all to be walking in the practice of faith. So it should be a walk for every single one of us, which means not just an event, not just the moment we get saved and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but our journey right through time and into eternity. We walk and continue to live by faith. And tonight we're going to take a kind of interesting turn in the teaching from God's Word. And we're going to look at the story of Exodus in a fresh way, and understand how this book is actually there for us to learn lessons of how to walk by faith, how faith comes to us, and how to not fail in the tests and challenges of life when everything around you is contradicting what you believe God has said. So Exodus, the beginning of that book, it starts with very bad news. And the very bad news is important because God has a message of very good news. And without the bad news, the good news is meaningless, really. And Israel, like us, were under slavery and bondage and under the curse of death. They were helpless in their ability to come out of that rule of Pharaoh and Egypt, which was like they were held captive, and they were slaves working for Pharaoh. And that's a picture of us before we get saved. We were sinners. We were under the dominion of Satan, under a curse. We were cursed because of sin and rebellion against God. And we were headed for eternal death. But then the good news comes. And for Exodus, God sent Moses with a word. Moses was a faith preacher. He preached the word to the people. What he heard from God, the message of God, the good news, he preached. And we're going to see what happened after he'd preached what God said. God said, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out from under the reign of sin, death, and Satan. And I'm going to bring you into a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey, where you won't have to earn everything. It'll just be there for the taking, which is called the Promised Land, which is a picture of us coming out from under the power of slavery and sin into Christ and into salvation and into every good thing that God has already accomplished for us through the work of the cross. So the good news comes. Now, faith has a beginning. And it's really important that we understand that faith starts with God and his word to us. Romans 10:17 says faith comes through hearing and hearing by the word. So Moses leaves Midian, goes back to Egypt, and he preaches exactly what God has promised to do for the people. And in verse 31 of Exodus 4, if you've got your Bible, just take a quick look there. Verse 31 of Exodus 4. This is what's really interesting, because if faith comes by hearing to us, faith came by hearing to them. And it says here, so the people believed. This is the secret. The people believed. They heard the preaching of the word through Moses. They believed it. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and he'd looked on their affliction, in other words, they heard of his love for them, his compassion, his desire to bring them out and into a good place, a blessed place, an abundant life. When they heard, they believed. And you know what they did? They bowed their heads and worshipped. Their response was, we worship you, God, because you have promised to save us and bring us into a good land. And the only fitting response was to worship him. So faith comes. It begins by hearing. I just want to speak the New Testament version of that that's happened in our lives. And we're going to look at Ephesians. We're going to have a bit of a Bible study tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 13. Verse 13. Hallelujah. Our faith is going to grow tonight. Verse 13. It says, in him, that's the Lord God, you also trusted, that's faith, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, that's really interesting. It's exactly what happened to the people in Egypt. They heard the word, the good news, which is what the gospel means, the good news of Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus came with a message, preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. So having heard, if you're a Christian tonight, you have heard the word. You didn't get saved by an experience. You didn't get saved by believing in somebody or something. You heard the word of God, which is also called the word of truth. So this is past tense. You have heard, you believed what you heard, and you trusted him. So faith's in God and in what he says. That's his word. That's where faith begins. So we cannot have faith without the word of God. And we've got to hear it or listen to it or read it before we can receive faith. So if somebody says, I need faith, I say, you need to hear the word. The promise that God has written in his Bible, in the word of God, for this situation. Because faith will come to you by hearing, accepting, and trusting God, what you can't see. And faith walks in what you can't see, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Everything comes, everything good comes into your heart, into your spirit, as soon as you've believed and received the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. So faith is not based on wishful thinking. It's not based on imagination. It's based on God's word. Faith is being sure and certain. Therefore, it's got to be more reliable than me. It's got to be more reliable than anything on this earth, because faith has to do with who God is and what God has said. And he is reliable. And that's what the Israelites considered. They considered it what he said. And they said, yeah, I believe him. Faith had come through hearing, and hearing by the word. They accepted it like you and I have, and surrendered their life in worship to follow him into every good thing that he had died to give them. That's the work of the cross for us. Now, the interesting thing is that there is opposition to faith. Scripture says we need to fight the good fight of faith. So there is a fight. There's a battle on, and it's for faith. Because there's a battle for the word of God. Satan opposes believers because believers believe. I know that's not rocket science, but believers believe. So Satan comes to test and challenge believers. As soon as Jesus received the Holy Spirit, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit led him into the wilderness, but there was a person there called Satan, a spirit being, who tested Jesus. He tried to tempt him. And this is the temptation of all temptations. He said, if you are the Son of God. God's word had come to Jesus. You are my son. Satan came in the test, in the wilderness, and said, if you are. Now Jesus answered that challenge to doubt what God had said with, it is written. He didn't say, I know I'm the Son of God. I know I am. I feel it. I feel it. He said, I'm going to answer it with a word, because Satan has no answer with a word, because the word in your mouth becomes the sword of the Spirit to bring victory. And so Jesus won the battle of the test in the wilderness, the temptation to doubt the word, by speaking and believing the written word of God. Eve made the mistake in the garden. In Genesis 3, Satan came and whispered, "Did God really say?" That was his opening line. Did God really say, "Let me throw doubt on what God said"? So Satan came and Eve entered into reason and began to doubt. Well, he did say, but, and she started to question because Satan had got her questioning and doubting and being double-minded as to what God really said, and whatever he said would happen, will happen. And so Eve went from doubt to unbelief and sin, and that resulted in the fall. Isn't it interesting? The fall began with doubt. That was the beginning. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, he never doubted because he was fully convinced by the Word of God. Now, there are two main titles for the Word, for the Bible. That is the Word of God. Genesis and the book of Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God in the beginning." He. And it makes the Word, Scripture says the Word is personal, a person. And his name is Jesus, the Word. So when we speak about the Word of God, we're speaking about what God says, God's Word to humanity, to us. But it's also spoken of as Scripture. That's the other title for the Word of God. And this is so important if you and I are going to walk by faith. Because if Satan can undermine the Word of God in your life, he will undermine your faith, and then he will therefore get you to lose out on every good thing that Jesus has died so that you could live in. So, same strategy in your life and mine is that he wants us to doubt the Scripture. Now, the word Scripture means that which is written or recorded. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. So, God moved through the Holy Spirit on people. But actually the author of the Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, is God. And it carries the very breath of God, the life of God. That's why this is no ordinary book. And this is a book that Jesus upheld, fulfilled everything written in it. His life, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, all of it. And he upheld the Scriptures in his teaching, the Old Testament. And everything about Jesus' life, he perfectly fulfilled God's Word. He is the Word, but he also walked out by faith. Jesus lived by faith, not sight. He trusted God and his Word. I recently, I'm just going to give you this snippet from Matthew. Faith is so exciting. But when you recognize that Satan wants to throw doubt on everything that you believe that is rooted in the promises, the Word, the Scriptures, then you know you can beat him. You know why things are happening. Because Satan wants to throw you off believing what God says. And in Matthew 22, it's a really interesting thing because these guys called the Sadducees, they were Pharisees, they were the legalist bunch. But the Sadducees, they were the liberals of the day. So in other words, we'll believe some of the Word, but we won't believe all of the Word. We'll do the pick and mix, Because whatever will fit my mind, I'll accept. But this particular teaching doesn't fit my mind. It doesn't actually work out in my head. And so they came to Jesus because they wanted to test him and question him and say, look, about the subject of resurrection, it's ridiculous. I can't read it all now because it'd take too long. And they basically said, there is no resurrection. And I want you to see how Jesus answered even the questions of the liberals in his day. Because the word is always the answer to everything. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken. Guys, you're wrong. People don't like to hear that these days. I'm sure they didn't want to hear it either. But Jesus stood there and said, you're actually mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, the word of God, the foundation of everything that Jesus believed and we believe, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God, not acknowledging that, of course, God can raise the dead. And then he says in verse 31, concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? In other words, I'm the God of the living and not the dead. Now, this is centuries before when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived. But God is saying, they're alive with me. And I love to think of all the saints that have gone, left this sight realm, this earthly life, but they are still, God is their God. And he proclaims, I am the God of, he was the God of my mum. He was the God of my dad. Isn't that fantastic? It's wonderful. But what Jesus said is actually very important. He said, have you not read? So he's talking to this liberal group, saying you need to go back to the word and you need to read the word of God. What was spoken to you? Have you not read what was spoken to you? Now, he's quoting from Exodus, where God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet Jesus is saying, have you not read what God has spoken to you centuries in the future, in their day? So in other words, the scriptures, reading even the scriptures, the word of God, God is speaking to you. That's what Jesus said. God himself is speaking as you read. So when we go through scriptures, I wonder which promise is for me. I wonder if every good thing that I read of in scripture is for me. Jesus said, it's God speaking to you personally. And in 2 Corinthians, the word of God tells us all the promises of God are yes and amen, which means Hebrew, the root word there means I believe it, I accept it, yes and amen. They're yes and amen in Christ. So in other words, you qualify, if you are in Christ, for every promise in Scripture, and there are hundreds of them. And not only that, every time you open your Bible and read it, God is speaking to you because Jesus said it. Jesus said it's God speaking to you. So just to take a pause, the people who were walking in darkness, those who were under bondage and slavery in Exodus, and also us before Jesus came and preached the good news. Moses went and preached. Jesus came and preached. And somebody came and preached to me and you. Or you read the word, or you read a tract, or someone gave you a testimony, and then somebody told you about the truth that Jesus died for your sins. He rose again from the dead, and whoever believes in their heart and confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Whoever believes in their heart, because with the heart you believe to being right with God, the righteousness of God that is in Christ. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So faith begins by hearing the word, and it's of the heart. It's a simple acceptance of what God said. Having believed what you heard, you trusted him. And you've received the Holy Spirit, God himself. And the Bible tells us we have a rich inheritance. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And we actually, oh my goodness, we have him. We have him, his presence with us always. We are the richest people on earth. But the purpose of God in giving you his word is that you, even if you're at the beginning of your journey and you're freshly saved, is that you walk by faith and you grow your faith by hearing the preaching or reading the word, because faith comes by hearing. And you can grow your faith from that to that to that to that to that. So you can continually see increase in your faith, which is actually a gift from God through hearing his word. Now, I'm going to just finish the last part of this evening. And I hope that's really kind of given you an honor of the scriptures, the word, of understanding it's God speaking to you, of understanding you can't believe unless you have a word that you've accepted and received, that your mind is full of hope, but your heart is full of faith, and that you're using your mouth to declare the truth. It is written. But I'm hoping that that's already been a faith refresher for you tonight. A faith refresher on the power of the word of God to transform me from not having what I need in a particular situation to having everything that I need, because we overcome the world with faith. We overcome, we win with faith. Now, the Israelites, and I love this story, and I've had such fresh revelation from this, but we're going to look in Exodus 14. The Israelites, all's going well. There's lots of faith teaching about the Passover that, you know, if they apply, they hear the word about applying the blood. So they do the word. The enemy of death and destruction passes over. They feast on the lamb that night, and then they begin their journey. This new life begins, a walk of faith. And so they're trudging along, walking along, thinking we're off to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, they've got the word ringing in their ears. They're going, brilliant, that's where we're going. It's all good. There is the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. And in Exodus 14, something happens that totally contradicts what they're believing. And that's what I want to tell you tonight. Whether you're a new believer or you've been saved for a long time, Satan and trials will come that totally contradict what God has said about a situation, a circumstances, about your destiny. And we just read in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the children that they turn and camp in this particular place before the sea, the Red Sea. Now, they're walking along, and then Moses said, we just need to take a different turn. And they changed direction. Now, there are a lot of them, millions of them. And all of them know the promised land's that way. Why are we going here? This is very confusing. Why is Moses leading us to this place? Now, there they are, camped at the Red Sea. And they were confused and not really liking this because it's that way, wrong direction. And often in our lives, we can't understand why we are where we are when actually it's that way. We should be going that direction. Exactly the same. And this is the test. And their test actually shows us how to pass and how to fail. Right? So, for example, if I was taking an exam and I had somebody sitting next to me saying, look, this is how you pass and this is how you fail, I say, brilliant. Thanks for teaching me. And basically, God's saying, I want to show you what not to do so that you know how to trust me and live by faith. The lesson is always to strengthen your faith in every trial. That's what 1 Peter says, that these trials and sufferings actually will, even though they're tested by fire, prove the genuineness of your faith and will reveal how great God is. So every trial and every bit of trouble and everything that contradicts the word is actually good for your faith. We don't think that. We don't like it. But God says it's going to strengthen your faith. And you're going to see even more miracles if you learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. So they're at the Red Sea. And everything now begins to look hopeless. It's not just a bad day. It's actually hopeless. Because Pharaoh thinks these guys have been bewildered. I'm going to come and get them back. So they know they can't go forward because of the Red Sea. They can't go back because of Pharaoh. And this is what they did, their response. And this is what God wants to teach us, how not to respond when everything is so bad, you can't see a way out. Now, these tests are big ones. And if we're going to walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings, not by circumstances, then we can understand that these tests, if we learn from their mistakes, will actually strengthen us and reveal how great God is. But what they did, the first thing that they did, now remember, they've already heard the word. They've already got faith. They're going to the promised land. They're already walking by faith. But a problem comes and they start walking by sight. There's an immediate change. They've been walking by faith. Now it's everything to do with how scary the situation looks. In verse 10 of Exodus 14, it says, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. That was the first thing they did. They lifted their eyes and saw trouble. message on Sunday just passed is so important, to take another look, to not look at the natural, but to look at the promise of God in that moment and to look at the faithfulness of God. So they were afraid. Scary picture. And this was real reason to be afraid. I'm not talking about an imaginary situation. I'm talking about a very tough time, a very difficult time. They were very afraid. And verse 11, it says, then they said to Moses, and this is the next problem. They've looked at the problem, and now they look at Moses. And they start to complain. And this is the normal sight route, not faith route. This is the normal sight route. You begin to look for somebody to take the fall for what you're in. You look for somebody to blame, somebody to hit, somebody to shout at. You're really, behind it all, you're shouting at God. And actually, the primary target is a church leader, without question. Because, you know, they're the target number one, because they've led the people here. Moses has led them to this place because God said to do it. And now they're saying, you, why? This is unfair. We're going to die here. Sounds a bit like the disciples in the storm when they woke Jesus and said, do you not care? We're perishing. We're dying. Jesus' answer was, where's your faith? What are you looking at? You were in faith, but you've come into sight, into senses, into seeing the circumstances and not fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Why have you dealt with us like this? Verse 12, is this not the word we told you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve? We wanted to stay in bondage. It was much better. They got to the point where it was better. We could die back there. We'd rather be slaves than die here. The majority at that point moved from faith to feelings, to assessing life by sight, not by the word. The only way you're going to walk by faith is to assess every situation by the word. And I'm preaching to myself tonight. I'm needing to say this to me too. The only way I can look at anything clearly is by saying, what's the word on it? Because whatever I read, it's God speaking to me. And I, having heard, I believe it. And I'm going to walk by faith, not by what I see. I'm going to be sure and certain, rooted in what God has said to me and to you. Now, if we interpret life by our feelings, our experiences, and our problems, we are left to those circumstances and experiences and problems. But there was a faith preacher there. Moses didn't take offense. Bless him. And God is teaching his people. God puts up with complaint right at the beginning of their journey. Later on, he deals with it very severely. But at this point, you see, God hates mumbling and grumbling and complaining because it's a sign of not trusting him. It's a sign that actually you're no longer trusting God, because God's planned good things for you. No matter what, God has a hope and a future for us. So Moses then comes to the people, verse 13, and he's in the same situation, okay? So Moses isn't kind of elevated, floating in the clouds, far above every problem here going on. He's standing right there in the middle of this same battle, this same challenge, which is contradictory to what God has said about a land flowing with milk and honey. And so he says to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Love that. He will accomplish it for you when? Today. You won't even have to wait for it. It's going to happen today. because faith is now. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. This is what Moses is doing. He's speaking faith. For the Egyptians who you see today, in other words, they are there. The problems are there. Love this. You are not going to see them again forever. In other words, God brought you here into this confusing place to do an almighty miracle, to show that he's God. Is that encouraging? Is anybody listening to what this word is actually for you and me? Is God speaking to you? The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Now, just kind of finish with this. He sees by faith. He's assessing the situation by what God has said. And so he speaks faith, even though the majority are speaking, we're doomed. The ship's going down. The nation is sinking. He is standing preaching faith. Faith preachers get the worst press. But actually, if you're not a faith preacher, you're a sin preacher. Because all that is not of faith, scripture says, is sin. The sin of unbelief. Where you turn your heart away from God and don't believe the word. Because this is faith. Trusting God when you can't see any evidence of getting out of it naturally. So he says, stand still. Don't be afraid. So in other words, stop being scared. Stand still. That's a military term that says, take your positions, be resolute, stand firm. What on? What? Because my feet and my knees would tremble. What would give me a firm place? It is written. He said it. That's it. I will settle my life on a word from God. Stand still. Be resolute. Don't back down. Stand. It's a bit Ephesians 6, you know, military term. Stand. Having done all, stand. You have a word. Stand firm. And see the salvation of the Lord. Now, the salvation means, actually, simply put, it means expect divine intervention. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Take a look with the eyes of faith and expect what you can't see yet. God to intervene in your circumstances. Beloved, it's the same message when Jesus said, only believe and you will see the glory of God. This pressure, traumatic situation for them as a people, not pleasant, turned out to be one of the most greatest miracles that showed all the earth that the Lord, he is God. Pharaoh might seem powerful, but our God is far more powerful. And all he asks of us as his people is to be resolute, to trust him. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, we get into doubt, experience wise and all kinds of problems with the way we view life, the way we view other people. But trusting Jesus is the only reasonable thing to do. And trusting his word is the most sure and certain foundation that you can believe what he says, stand on it, and expect God to come through for you. Are you going through a test? Some of you are going through a huge test, I'm sure. I know it. I can only say, stand still, be firm, resolute. Trust in the word you have heard. And if you don't have a word, ask God. You see, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll guide you into all truth. That's the Bible. And he will speak to you, not his own words, not different than the Bible, than the Jesus word. But he will declare the things that Jesus has said, and even things you haven't heard yet. So in other words, your future, the Holy Spirit's always saying, let me remind you, let me speak this word to you. Read the scriptures, and I'm going to put the fizz in that effervescent tablet, and you're going to come to faith. And wherever there's faith, there's victory. Wherever there's faith, there is victory. And God intervenes when we believe. What an exciting subject. If you've wondered why you're in what you're in and you're standing there and saying, why all these trials? Well, Satan opposes God's anointed. He opposes everything God wants to do and say, and he gets you to try and question it. Don't make Eve's mistake. Refuse to doubt. One great faith preacher said, doubt and you'll do without. And that's the truth. Jesus is always saying, only believe. And even when we think we're perishing, he says, where's your faith? In the storm or in me and what I've said? And these are the hardest challenges of life. I've had some. They'll come to us all. There isn't one of us who's a believer that won't have had the challenge. A new believer, been walking with God 50 years. But Jesus says, learn from these people. Don't look at the problems and be scared stiff. Look to God. Trust his word. Read his word. Feed on his word until his word becomes real. I believe that. I accept it. Speak it. Confess your way into salvation, into the promise of God, like Moses. And God will intervene in your life. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Wonderful. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that what you have spoken to us tonight will settle in our hearts and produce the fizz, the effervescence of faith. Let us be excited again about what your promises say, who we are, who you are, and what you've said is all that we need in this life, Lord, with the guide and help of the Holy Spirit. And we will overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I think it's November the 10th. Join us again for the next Faith Refresher. God bless.